Once a year I go on behalf of the yeshiva to the United States to give shiurim in different communities. So many of your parents were there. It helps the yeshiva. I do my best to help the yeshiva, even though I'm tired. In any case, everyone was asking me how it was, and the answer is good to be back. For not to have to go. But I guess it means kemachim Torah, and so I'm happy there's a lot of Torah. One of the easiest and alluring things for us, but also most dangerous, is to think about the moment without thinking about how it relates to the past and future. And that's when we make our biggest mistakes. We make our mistakes when we get caught in the moment without thinking about what it means. And just as Chazal tell us, Yesh kone olamo b'sha achas, there are some people who are able to, in one moment in time, take advantage. Bikona their olam b'sha'achas. There are people, there are situations in our lives where people are machriv their olam b'sha'achas. It's true for individuals. It's true for nations. It's true for individuals and how they can impact the nation. And it's true for all of us and how we impact each other. Rav Kook said, you know, to Great Britain in the 1930s, and they put out the white paper, he goes, Hashem has given you the power of an empire and has given you control over this area to found the Jewish state. And if you miss that opportunity, your empire will end. We see they can't even win the cup. It's how far it's, you know, descended. So there, you miss your moment. Today we live in a world where people can make a very big, strong impression very easily. You have the internet. A person can post something that's machazik many people. A person can post something that's machlish many people. And this is true, we find in Tanakh as well. There are sins that have major implications for everyone living. A person says, Avodah Zarah, Gila Arayish, Shvichas Damim, Metame Eretz Yisrael, it brings to the Churban. Sin of Chinim brings to the Churban. But the Churban impacts only at that moment. I'll explain what I mean. Because we know that if the next generation, the next minute, people have repaired it, so then it would be rebuilt. Right? Anyone who the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt in his days, it's as if it's destroyed, because if you were good enough, it would be rebuilt. So that doesn't really, it has an impact, but it doesn't really impact. Each generation stands for its own. There are a number of sins in Tanakh that are described in Tanakh as having implications beyond that moment. And I believe Chazal, and not I know that Chazal connected between them, and I believe it's because there's a line that runs through them. The first of the three, of course, which affects not only all mankind, but the whole world, is the original sin. People use the term original thing, they think Christian. The Torah talks about this original sin having major implications. Implications on how the world functions or doesn't function. Implications on man's life. Implication on how he relates to his wife from then on. Chazal say how the original sin, hitil bazuama, man became filthy. Something impacted man. The next sin, of course, is the Chet Egel. Chet Egel is the first national sin of the Jewish people. The Jewish people had sinned before, but never as a nation. Chazal say that when we stood at Har Sinai, the Zuama that had entered mankind, the original sin was removed, but the Chet HaEgel returned. So you see, the Chet HaEgel is a revival of whatever went wrong with the original sin. And you see that the Chet HaEgel has implications because, beyond that moment, after Moshe davens to Hashem that he shouldn't totally obliterate the Jewish people, which is what God says should be happening, Hashem says to him, tell them what I've told you. I'll send my angel with you. When it comes time, when I'm poked them, I'll be poked them for this. Rashi quotes Chazal, very famous words. He says, Tamid, Tamid. That's Rashi's word, I didn't stutter. Tamid, Tamid. Kishe efkod aleim avonotehem. Every time, Tamid, Tamid. Consistently. When I come to them for their sins, fakarati aleihem ma'at min ha'avon hazeh m'shar ha'avonot. V'ein peronut ba'al Yisrael, v'ein peronut ba'al Yisrael, shein b'ktzat mi'peron avon ha'egel. There isn't suffering the Jewish people have that isn't a little bit of Chet HaEgel. Now this sounds like a very vindictive assistant principal. What does that mean? Now clearly God is not an assistant principal. If he worked in a school, he'd probably be the principal. Okay? If the Chet HaEgel is something we're being punished for, every time we sin, it's because every sin on some level is a continuation, has a b'china, or if you want to be chassidish, has a klippa of the Chet HaEgel. Or maybe if we're talking about a chet, the chet doesn't need a klippa, the chet itself is a klippa. Okay, the kids, you understand the point, right? Okay. There's no place in Tanakh where this is referenced, with the exception of this week's parsha. And this week's parsha completes the triumvirate. Because the Chet HaMeraglim, similar. God wants to obliterate the Jewish people. And the way God formulates the punishment is very reminiscent of the Chet HaEgel. Hashem says like this, we all know 40 years the Jewish people are going to be in the desert. They're all going to die out. Well, B'mispar yamim asher tartem et ha'aretz. Arbaim yom, yom lashana, lo mishana. Tisu et avonotechem. You'll carry the sins for these 40 years. For these 40 years. Rashi and Chazal were troubled. What do you mean 40 years? The Jews had already been in the desert for 1 year. The Onesh was 39 years. Says Rashi, according to Chazal, the Shana Rishona Oysa B'chlal, the first year in the desert was also counted. The Afal Pi Shekadma, the Shiluach HaMeraglim, even though it was before sending the Meraglim, listen carefully. Lefi Shemisha Asu Es HaEgel, because when the Jews made the Egel, also Gzera Zuba Machshava, this Gzera was already appropriate. Ela Shehimtin Lahen, Achet Ismalei Sa'asam, God waited until they were full, whatever that means. The Af Kan Nemar, it says in the Pasuk, not Tisu es Avonechem, but Tisu es Avonosechem. Shte Avonos. Shel Ego v'shel Tluna. This is when it all came together. The obvious question, what does the Cheira Meragim have to do with the Cheira Ego? Two seem totally different things. So we can find some connection. It has to do with God rebelling, blah, 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 okay. It seems like it's more than that. And this is a whole thing to study. I'm going to confuse everyone. You ready? There's a huge blurring of the lines between the conversation between Moshe and Hashem, the Cheira Egel, and the conversation of the Cheira Meraglim. I'll explain. I'll give you one example. There are many examples. You know, we say the Yud Gimel Midas, right? El Horesa Lanu Lomer Shlosh Yisrael Chalayim Brishosh Zeh Kemosha Odat Alionov Mikedem Kemosha Katuv. What are we referring to when we say that tefillah? The Yud Gimel Midas that were given by Hashem to Moshe when at the Egel Asof, and then we say Slach Lanu Avinu Adam Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha. When does that pasuk appear?
Raglan.
Some say it was really written by the Egel. Moshe was referencing it here. Kasher Dibarta, the Rishonim will discuss it. Somehow we put together discussion of God by the Egel, discussion of God in the Raglan. They're connected. And another place you see the connection, interestingly, is the famous Mishnah in Tan, it's Daf Chavav, right? Lo hayu yomim tovim li Yisrael. Like? What were the two greatest yomim tovim for the Jewish people in the time of the Mikdash?
Tu
B'Av and?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is when the Jews got kapara for the Cheira Egel. Tu B'Av is when the Jews were finally freed from the Gzeira of the Meraglim. So the Cheira Meraglim is very much a continuation of the past. But more than any other Cheira, even more than the Cheira Egel, it had implications and drove the future. What do I mean? Chazal tells in the Gemara in Tan is at that first Tisha B'Av night, you know, you ask someone what happened Tisha B'Av. They'll say the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You say, okay, what else? The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They'll say, what else? He said, was there a third Beis HaMikdash? That's going to be right. Oh, yeah, Beitar. Beitar, you know, lost 3-0 twice in a row and then we're out of the playoffs. Okay, you know what I'm saying? That's a horrible damage. Beitar was destroyed. But Tisha B'Av begins on Lot Tisha B'Av. First one. And the language of the Gemara in Tanis is that Hashem sets them. Here's another proof. Hashem assistant principal min HaTorah minayin. Here comes another one. Get ready. I think I'm going to have to understand the whole flow of this. V'yivku ha'am b'laylahu atisa kol ha'edah v'yitnu et kolam v'yivku ha'am b'laylahu Amir Rabba, Amir Rabbi Yochanan Oso ha'erev Tisha B'Av haya Amir Lama Kodesh Baruch Hu atem b'chitem b'chiyah shel chinam. Ani kovei lechem b'chiyah l'dorot. You cry for no reason? I'll make you cry forever. You want a reason to cry? I'll give you a reason to cry. Assistant principal, man, right? What's that? The Ramban, in his Pirush al HaTorah, quotes this Chazal that Chazal understood that the Cheira Meraglim was the beginning of all future suffering. And he says, I don't know, where did they get it from? I don't see it here. Uh, Not there. Here we go. Amu Rabbi Seinu, Heim Bachu Bechiyah Shel Chinam, Ani Ekva Lechem Bechiyah Ladarot, V'lo Yadati Ne'ez Remez Shebeparsha Utsiyu Zeh. Where did they get this from? And then he mentions a Perek in Tehillim. The Ramban learned Tehillim. If you look in Tehillim, Perekuf Av, it speaks about the sins of the Jewish people in the desert. And guess which two sins it focuses on and juxtaposes to one another? The Egel and the Meraglim. Again, said that this is, you know, it's a perfect storm. It speaks first about the Chet HaEgel, the terrible aspects of the Chet HaEgel. And briefly it says, Kuvav, which is on, Yasu Egel Bechore v'yishtachavu l'masecho, v'yamiru es kfodam v'tavnis shor ochol esev, remember this pasuk, v'yamiru es kfodam, they exchange their own honor, is that God? V'tavnis shor ochol esev, for the shape of an ox eating grass, Shachuel Moshiach, Masudos, Mitzrayim, etc., etc. But Yomel Hashmidim, Luli Moshe Bechiru, Hashem wanted to destroy it, and had not been for Moshe. Fine. Next. Very next passage. Vayimasu Beretz Chemda. They showed disgust for a desirable land. Lo Aminu Lidvaro. Vayiragnu Be'olayim. They were crying in their tents. Lo Shamu Bekol Hashem. They didn't heed what Hashem said. Vayisa Yado Lehem Lapilatam Be'midbar. God raised his hand to have them fall in the desert. Ulehapil zaram bagoyim vilarzarosam ba'arotso. So it's a continuation of the same word, lehapil. To cause them to fall in the desert, and to cause their children to fall in the nations, in the galus. Lehapil zaram bagoyim vilarzarosam ba'arotso. The Chet HaMeraglim didn't just have an impact on this generation. It had an impact, it's the beginning and the reason for galus in all the generations. And the question is why is this so significant? So if you're at Tzionisha, you don't love Eretz Yisrael, you're terrible, you're terrible, you're Tzionisha. Come on. Let's go on. And the truth is that explaining all this requires us to get a better understanding of the whole Chet HaMeraglim, which is L'chayra Tamua. We don't think about it enough to understand how Tamua it is. How could the Jewish people have made this mistake? Or in English, what were they thinking? What do I mean by that? They saw God do cool things. Well, let's remember, you know, what they saw. We heard about it. They saw it. They saw the Makkos in Egypt. Wild stuff. Kriyas Yamsuf. Not in the movies. Har Sinai. The man, and now the Meraglim went and saw, hey, there's some tough people over there. They don't think God can beat up Italians? This is God. So, but what are they thinking? I'm just trying to, you know, get my point. It's like the same Shiloh. A guy's learned well in yeshiva, right? He's learned well in yeshiva. Now, it's time to be shunned up. I don't know, maybe I won't succeed. Doesn't make sense. Why should you think you won't succeed? People get these things in their heads, but what was pshat for them? I think the pshat is the same, so we'll explain one through the other. Well, what's the pshat for them? What were they thinking? So there's a very famous Maamar Chazal in the beginning of the parsha, which I think explains everything while explaining nothing at the same time. What do I mean? Chazal asks, why is the story of the Meraglim juxtaposed to Miriam? Now you'll say, because it happened afterwards. Now we know Ein Mukta Mamocha BaTorah. Torah doesn't write in chronological order, so if it's next to each other, it's because it's connected, even if it happened afterwards. Lama Nisim LaParshas Meraglim LaParshas Miriam. Lefi Shalakta Aliske Diba Shadibra VeAchia. She was punished for speaking badly about her brother. Rishayim Halalu Rov Alalakhu Moser. And they didn't take Moser. The obvious question is, what does that have to do with the price of rice in China? Miriam is speaking negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu, and they didn't take Musa. Take Musa what? Not speak badly about Moshe Rabbeinu? What does that have to do with, is it just like this, you know, general kind of don't speak badly thing? Was there punishment? They said Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, that Yisrael was insulted. Said Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, it's not nice. Doesn't seem like what's going on in the parsha. I think it's this problem. This kasha. That's generated so many very deep explanations of the Chet HaMeraglim. maybe the most famous one, was that the Meraglim were afraid or didn't want to have a Yerida by going into Eretz Yisrael. Going into Eretz Yisrael, they have to work, they have to make parnasa, they're not going to live off Hashem's Nisim anymore, they're going to lose this high spiritual level. They wanted to stay in the desert and live off God and the spiritual and etc. I'm not mocking that, I'm saying etc. But you don't see that here. Why do people give this explanation? Because it's hard to understand. How else can you explain what their hesitation was? What was their fear? And you know, it's good sometimes when you can examine someone else's irrational fear. It's a lot easier to look at and a lot less terrorizing and pressurizing than having to examine your own irrational fears. But you know what? If we can understand their irrational fears, maybe we can understand our irrational fears. Because we all got our own. Anyone who wants, I'll give you your list. There's a lot of different explanations given for this, but I prefer an explanation given by an ancient Mefarish whose name is Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the story of the Meraglim, and he mentions there what the Jews were saying that night. This is very interesting because, you know, it's like first-hand witness, and not just any witness. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, chosh of a Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting what happened, and he says, "Vateirognu bi'alechem." You were mourning in your tents. Right? Tehillim builds off this. "Vatomru," and you were saying, "V'sinas Hashem otanu, hotzianu me'eretz Mitzrayim, latet otanu bi'ad ha'amori l'hashmidenu." Out of hatred for us, Hashem took us out of Egypt to put us in the hands of the Amori to destroy us. The Sforno writes here, there's no way the Jews had a doubt about whether God could take the Canaanites. They knew he could. They just didn't know he would. So what are we doing here? God hates us. B'sinas Hashem otanu. He's setting us up. Ah, you'll ask, why did he take us out of Egypt, split the sea, give the Torah, do all these things, you know, only for this? Well, we sinned since then, right? Like Yaakov, Hashem Yigam Ached, right? We did the Chet HaEgel. So God's angry at us, and this is how he's setting us up. And you know what? That may sound irrational to you. But let's try and get into what they were feeling. Let's try and understand where it came from for them, and then maybe we can understand where it comes from for us. Rashi, Chazal, shocked. How could the Jewish people think that God was out to get them? How could they think that God hated them? But sinas Hashem otanu. Rashi quoting Chazal says, "But sinas Hashem otanu, v'hu haya oev eschem." He loved you, aval atem sonen oso, but you hated him. Mashal hedget, like people say, "Madelibcha al rachmach, madelibi alach." What you feel towards someone else is what you attribute to them. Whatever was going through the Jewish people and their feeling towards God, go back to Baal Oscha running away from Har Sinai, Ketinik HaBoreach, whatever was going on, whatever psychological things go on inside ourselves, low self-esteem, uncomfortability, nervousness about our future, that causes us to doubt God, that causes us to doubt our parents, that causes us to doubt our friends, our Rebbeim, the land we're going to, that causes us to doubt everything. The feelings we have, we attribute to those people. And if we're nervous about following them, we tell ourselves that they're not really interested in leading us. And this notion of low self-esteem, we know from another pasuk by the Meraglim, which only strengthens this sense that that was what was going on. Maybe more famous than this, right? The Meraglim said, "V'hayinu kechagovim be'einenu, v'chein hayinu be'einehem." We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in their eyes. I'll say, why did they mention their own eyes first? Because their own eyes were where it started. Their own eyes were where it started. And maybe, when you live dependent on God, you come to develop this sense that you're worthless. That's unhealthy. You're dependent, you're a parasite. Person needs to believe in their own worth. They need to believe that God is there to help them. And the truth is, I believe the beginning of this chait was the chait ha'egel. The Chazal said it, but right? How? Remember the pasuk in Tehillim that I emphasized people want to look at it later. Perek Kuf Vav, Pasuk, Ying Ying. Perek Kuf Vav, Pasuk Chaf. It says, Vayamiru es kfodam betavnis sharo chalezev. They traded in their respect for the form of an ox eating grass. So what do you mean their respect? So Pasha Pshat, I would say, is God. They traded God for an ox, which is also a pella. We don't want God anymore. We want an ox. We want a bull market. Not to rely on God. But the next pasuk says that. Shachu el Moshiach Mosek Dos Mitzrayim. They forgot God. So if the second pasuk is God, what's the first pasuk? So I believe this taps into a very similar idea. Chorot is a pella question by the ego. Pella question. Not peller. Peller isn't a question. Peller is a peller. But there's a Pella question by the Egel. The Jewish people thought Moshe disappeared. They come to Aaron. Aaron, we don't know where Moshe is. What should the next part of that statement be? We don't know where Moshe is. We need someone to lead us. What should the next part of that statement be? Aaron, help us, lead us. And I would imagine Aaron probably crossed his mind. You know, have you had this experience when someone's saying a sentence to you and you're thinking how they're going to complete the sentence? Look, Aaron, we don't know where Moshe is. We really need someone to lead us. Aaron's like, How do you get from, we don't know where Moshe is, let's make a golden calf? What's pshat? How did you get from A to B? There's one very important word that appears in the conversation with Aaron. Listen carefully. When they come to Aaron, they say, "Kum asei lanu elokim asher yechul lefaneinu, make us a God who will lead us." Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish asher ha'alanu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu mehayalo. Because this Moshe, the man who took us out, we don't know what happened to him. The Jewish people didn't just lose Moshe; they lost faith in people. You can't rely on people. They just disappear. We need golden images. The respect of human beings. The reliance on human beings. We don't have to rely on human beings. But that's this world. Relying on human beings, relying on ourselves. And if the chait of Adam HaRishon is where he's insecure with himself and he feels he has to eat from the tree so he can be like God, instead of accepting the goodness of who he already is, the chait of the eagle is the opposite, in looking for something greater than ourselves because we can't rely on ourselves. And the chait of meraglim is where we attribute to God the problems we have with ourselves. And if a person can't be confident enough in themselves, when God is with them, when it's clear that God is with them, and that lack of confidence is going to cause them to attribute negativity to God himself. And that those sins are the roots of everything later. When a person doesn't take themselves seriously enough to live up to who they should be. When a person allows themselves to be less than they should be. When a person lies to themselves about their relationship with God and its value. Tamid, that sin is there. Fakarti alechem. This is the roots of Golus. Because that Tisha B'Av night, there was no reason to cry. How could you be crying? What are you, crazy? God is with you. It's clear. You got him. You got everything you need. What's the only way to help someone appreciate what they don't appreciate? Take it away. And because Jews didn't appreciate what their relationship with God meant, they didn't protect it enough, and eventually it led to the Churban, and it led to Golus. And hopefully Jews come to learn from having to be scattered and hated, and even Argentina won't play you, you know, that eventually you realize we need something bigger and better here. But what's interesting is to realize how sin can be rooted in the lack of confidence and appreciation of yourself and the relationship you have with God and others. Because when you appreciate and express appreciation for what you have and who you have in your life, you appreciate what you have. You appreciate who you are. You appreciate your place and your picture. It was, you know, a badness binge. Moshe is no good. God is no good. The land is no good. Nothing is good. Couldn't you learn from Miriam, who saw bad in Moshe, and see what happens when you're looking at the bad? Couldn't you stop the insecurity causing you to look badly at others because you look bad at yourself? Couldn't you accept Moshe for who he is? Accept yourself for who you are? Couldn't you see the good in Eretz Yisrael and the goodness in God and the goodness in yourself? But you know, it all spirals out of control. Once a person is infected with the lack of appreciation of self, everything else around them looks terrible also. And this is part of the tension you face as you're growing as a person between gaiva and anova. Gaiva is when you're full of yourself. Anova is when you lack a sense of self. And the truth is to appreciate everything you are and everything that God gives you and everything that the world gives you and all the good around you, but to keep it in proportion and remember that God is the one who gave it to you, and not to allow your appreciation to spill over into thinking you're holier than other people. But if the fear of being holier than other people makes you think you're worthless, not just worthless, but causes you to forget everything you have, you're not going to live up to who you need to be. Rav Nachman Mibreslov writes that in essence all chet, comes from katnas mochim, which means in English, or in Hebrew, where a person sees themselves as less than what they need to live up to. Gaiva can also be katnas mochim, because you think you're already done. That you accept that you could be someone who does such a thing. How could I do such a thing? It's below me. It's below me. Yeah. And the point here is to see how even people who had it all, you tell yourself, if I had lived in the door of Midbar, I had seen God, I had seen Sinai, I had seen Yamsav, I would be a believer. The same way your great-grandparents said, if I saw the return of the Jewish people to Israel, if I saw the Six-Day War, if I saw the Kotel in Jewish hands, I'd be a believer. But you know what? You can be living here and not be a believer. Are you talking? You tell yourself, if I live in the time of Kriyas Yamsav, I'd be a believer. And you see they had a problem. And they couldn't possibly not believe that God could do it. But they found some way of believing that it wouldn't happen for them, that they weren't worthy. And this is a pshat of Moshe Rabbeinu. The sinas Hashem osanu otzienu miyad mitzrayim, hotet otanu biyad ha'amori lashmidenu. How relevant is this to us in our lives? How many times, because of our own insecurity, because of our own fears, because of our own doubt about whether we're going to be able to realize the potential we have to start finding out why everybody else is responsible. We have to start seeing the bad in everyone around us and everything around us and the justification for all the reasons why we can't succeed and won't succeed, which lets us off from the responsibility of having to succeed. It's infectious. It infects yourself and radiates out in every direction of your personality and influences other people too. Oy vavoy! One of the shiurim we talk about dating and marriage that I gave over the last week to parents, and it's interesting to see how people in their 40s and their 50s, they start thinking about it. We say in the parasha of Mitzorah that a person who has tzaras has to be put outside the camp. Not just in his own hut, but outside the camp. Why? Rashi says, "Hu hivdil bein ish leishto bein adam lereyehu." He used his tongue to separate between people, we put him outside. Oy vavoy to ever be a person who causes discord between people with your tongue. How about if we're a person who causes negativity with our tongue and with the way we act? To play off other people's insecurities. To do things that cause other people to doubt themselves more. To do things that cause other people to look at themselves as less. To look at a Kodesh Baruch Hu as less. To look at their parents as less. To look at their leaders, their rebbeim, their friends, whoever's in their life as less. To be the opposite of Tov Lehodos Lashem. Oy vavoy. Mamish. Bechila Doris. The Chidim Raglam is much more than how you relate to Eretz Yisrael and whether you say, hey, look at these disgusting oranges, aren't they wonderful? The Chidim Raglam is about the negativity that begins with a negative self-image. And to understand How that negativity begins with a negative self-image. And how negativity is a cover-up for the insecurities we have about ourselves. A person secure with themselves can be mechabed other people. A person who makes fun of everybody else is because they're insecure with themselves. A person who is confident enough with themselves can show respect for other people. And that's the mechubed. That's a person people respect and like because he's confident enough with himself. He doesn't hinge on my approval. He's not looking for my approval in a sycophant way to support his own balloon hot air. It's not just a question of whether you have kavod, it's whether you have the maturity, confidence, and oomph to show it. To be knowing kavod. And that's the saga of relationships. Our relationship with God, our relationship with those who help us, our relationship with our friends, the ups and downs of relationships that go through the ups and downs of our own insensitivities and insecurities. Everyone's taking stock these days, these weeks of their year. And every single person has a lot to be proud of and a lot to put in their pickle. But the last week isn't just to take stock. The last week is to give definition to it. How do I see this? What are the mistakes I made? What are the right things I did? What do I want to build upon? What do I want to fix? You know how you have those moments in time when it's like mutter, like to go over and say girl type things to each other? Let's make a girl time moratorium. We'll all suspend our condescending, distancing, macho maleness for a week. I'm not suggesting any sex change hormone, things, and tum-tum androgynous stuff. I'm not suggesting anything along those lines, just to be clear. But maybe for a week we can all actually be open and honest. We can take stock of ourselves, show appreciation to each other, and figure out how we take ourselves to the next level, and with that our relationships to the next level. To understand just how much of the issues you have with other people and with God and with whoever else fill in the blank, your parents, your friends, your rebbes, just how much of that mess is located inside your ribcage or cranium, and whatever those thoughts and feelings are. Cranium, right? Cranium. Because when we don't, you can have all the Torah in the world, you can have all the Nisim in the world, you tell yourself stupidity. Stupidity. You sin as Hashem Osano. What are you, crazy? You're at a historical moment. What do you mean, Hashem Osano? Don't get up, call it up with stupidity. Daf get historical moments, nationally historical moments, or personal historical moments is when people get the craziest ideas because they have the most fears. And they're the biggest tests. And the night before your wedding, you'll wonder whether your wife loves you. Unless you learn to appreciate yourself. And when I say appreciate yourself, I don't mean, I'm so great, look at me. Appreciate myself means, what did God create me with? God is with me, God empowers me, what can I do with myself? I want to make myself into something greater because I know I can be greater. Appreciate myself means the real essence of yourself, not the stupidity that makes you ki'ilu feel better about yourself. And that's the irony of our world. In our world, everybody is told how wonderful they are. Everyone needs to be convinced how wonderful they are. No teacher or coach can ever tell anyone, you're not so good. There was that video going around. Some coach was speaking about how parents ruin their kids by telling, they have to all be able to compete even if they're not very good. Everybody's on the team. Everybody has to play the same amount. You guys saw that? There was a video going around about that? Excellent video. And people are being told we're all valuable even if we don't win, even if we don't play well, it's all the same. You don't have to strive to be better at anything. It's just you're already fine. So on the one hand, it's an attempt to chas v'shalom, nobody should ever feel bad about themselves. On the other hand, it's a lie. And anyone with half a brain is going to figure it out. And when you figure out that you're being lied to, because your value is I can be on the team also, even though I stink, so then you think, oh, I'm being lied to, I'm nothing. It's all the Matrix. When I say we have value, it's because we're created by God. Yeah. God. The the one who won't bake cakes for, you know, homosexual couples. God, I mentioned that. It's only mutter because there's some technicality. We know we're valuable because God created us. And we know we become more valuable through the godly things we do. And the more we have that, the more we have to appreciate about ourselves. And so the self-appreciation of the real things should inspire us to strive for more real things. Not the lies of the culture we're around us that hate low self-esteem. Oh, everyone is so wonderful. Everyone is equally good. Let's all get 60s on our tests so we can all be equal. If you get 80, you're 10 points lower than 90. And if you get 90, you're 10 points lower than 100. But we don't judge people by the score they get on their test. We judge people by the degree to which they take advantage of what God gives them in this world. And you all know what this means. You know what it means to see someone very talented who does not deserve respect, and to see people less talented who deserve all the respect. Because what do people respect? Respect people with values. They respect people who work towards things. They respect people who respect others. They respect people who have the right things they're focused upon. We all know that. Let's not allow our insecurities about not having done that correctly cause us to need to put ourselves and other people down to feel better. Appreciate all the things you've done. Appreciate all the good. Appreciate all the good in others and figure out how you can become better. That's the end of the year. What is it, whitewash? It's whitewash. No one ever did anything wrong to me? No. Everybody's done wrong to you. You've done wrong to everybody else. Let's just emphasize which part is real. That's tshuva. Tshuva is where you assert which part of the things you act is your identity. Which was me? Which is me? So if I was mean, right? Let's think of someone in the room who can't be mean. Morty Blau. If Morty Blau was ever mean to someone, he's going to go over and say, remember that time I was mean to you? It's not who I really am. It's not what I really believe about you. That's what I meant. It's mutter to be a woman for a week. Okay. It's mutter to be a woman for a week. After the week, everyone has to get back to their Y chromosome. Someone's with me here? For a week. They're my parents. I appreciate you giving me this year. I appreciate everything you've done for me. I'm sorry that I was this way. I'm sorry I was that way. Came from a moment of weakness in myself. Let's give ourselves a week. To allow ourselves to identify ourselves and explain ourselves. And strengthen the real base of the relationships we have. With God, with other people, and with ourselves. Most people think these psukim are about the Yisr of Lashon Hara. They can't be because they're in Sefer Tehillim. Tehillim is not about Yisr. And the punishment for Lashon Hara isn't death. What the psukim are about is a life worth living. Who desires a life worth living? The answer given by Sefer Tehillim is Oev Yamim, to love every day. What kind of life would we live if we could love every day of it? How do you love every day of your life? Liros Tov. Train yourself tonight so that when you wake up tomorrow morning, you'll see the good in the guy sleeping next to you, hopefully in another bed. And the guy in the next dira, and the guy you didn't choose to be in the dira with. It's not because there isn't bed. But because if you want to enjoy your day, you have to be focused and work on focusing on the good in other people. You think it's naive? Could be. What kind of life do you want to live? What kind of life are you going to live if you spend your time cheshbening everybody else and why they're no good because you're no good? And reinforcing your sense of your own no good because of somebody else's no good. The advice of Sefer Tehillim is Nitzor L'shon Chomeros V'Sech Midaber Mirma. Because if you spend all your time speaking about the bad, you're not going to be able to focus on the good. V'Ahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha. Just like you got your issues, other people got their issues. You love yourself, love them. Baal Shem Tov, right? And more than that, not just tolerate other people because you tolerate and love other people because you love yourself. understand that when you emphasize, when you harp on the bad in other people, accurate or not, you're reinforcing your own focus, your own issues. Because if you're seeing it, if you're being masig it, it's because it's part of who you are. And we all have it. Even those not born in New York have it. We all have it. The question is whether we emphasize it. It's a milchama gedola. It's a milchama gedola. Rav Kook calls it a mitzvah gadol. Ba'avodas Hashem. To be able to pull ourselves from it. But understand that if you don't pull yourself from it, you're not just over the issue of Lashon Hara. It's not just the Dibas Ra of Miriam on Moshe and Rishayim Elu Ra v'lalakhu Musar. It's not just that. It's the way we are as people. It's who we are as people. Ashreini that I live, my wife Shani, who has no hasag of any bad in anybody, everybody's perfect. There are people like that. It's a gift from God or the way their parents raised them. But you know it's possible. That's what we have to strive for. It's not just a question of a mitzvah, not a mitzvah, not a vega, not a vega, not a lojanoga. It's who you are. It's what you attribute to God. How much of your issues do you attribute to your parents, to your abeim, to God, to your friends? How much of your mess causes you to see, assume God's messed up with you? Growing in Torah means getting your ducks in a row. We don't know where Moshe is. Let's go build an ox. Stupidity that rational people thought of because they lost faith in man. God's going to hand us over to the Amori to destroy us. Narishkeit. That rational Gedolei Olam thought of because Madeh Beliba Chola. If Bigdoyle Oilam, what about the Ezov Yakir? How much are we infected by this? You want an activity for the last week? Be a woman. And I don't mean women also have their issues. I'm saying a particular part that it's mutter to be sensitive. That's it. Let's move to talk about feelings. That part. Everyone's already figured out their boxes. I don't talk to that guy. I don't talk to this guy. This guy looked at me one day. I don't look at him because I don't look at me because he looked at me because I don't look at him. Go look in the mirror. You'll see all those problems. No, it's not me. I'm perfect. You know you're not perfect. Just realize how the rest of it comes out of the imperfection you have inside yourself. Did Rebbe just say I'm wrong? No, it's not that you're wrong. Nobody's wrong. It's not about wrong and right. It's about me. Everyone wants to come to me. I should tell them who's right. You're right. He's right. You both have issues, everybody say. I don't have any issues. He has issues. Yeah, you're perfect. I'm sorry. Okay. If you're perfect, it wouldn't bother you. Go ask my wife. Nothing bothers her. Why not? That's what purity means. Want to be right your whole life? And be fully cognizant and focused on what's wrong with everybody else? Shkoyach. You'll win the self-righteousness award at graduation. And the most self-righteous jerk, here he is. It's redundant. And you pay for it with your own heart. You pay for it with your own life. And the biggest chiddush is that the way you become stronger in yourself is by appreciating more and what's around you. Rav Nachman writes, Reish Pei Beis, right? Have you done it? Kol Kafschus. person has to see the good in every person. And then he says in the end, V'chein ba'atzmoy. V'chein ba'atzmoy. If you spend the time seeing the good in folks and the good in others, eventually you'll be able to see them yourself too. It'll help you get over it. Because you'll be seeing so much good, it'll infect you back. We're in Eretz Yisrael. It's not coincidental. All the good, sweet people love Eretz Yisrael. All the accurate, cynical people make fun of Eretz Yisrael. Israelis are cynical. Not about Eretz Yisrael, cynical about the rest of the world. There's something pure in the ability to appreciate what you have. Appreciate God. Appreciate the ability to have been here. Appreciate parents gave to you. Appreciate the friends you shared it with. Appreciate the friends in Mechazik. Appreciate the friends who live in Mechazik. Appreciate your Rebbein. Appreciate the Medrash. Appreciate the one Chavrusa, the Shir Gimel guy, whoever it is, everything and everyone. One of the parents I saw Judah Graber's parents, they said to me, I can't tell you how much of an impact Eitan Arya had on his year. Okay. It's mutter to be a girl for a week and say thank you. And to really show an appreciation. And to appreciate how lucky we all are. That we know what we know. And we're exposed to what we're exposed. Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu Lechvodo V'Vodo Minatom. I was in Frisch Yeshiva High School. Did I say it right? Not Frisch, High School. Misifta de Frisch, I was in. Kal Kodesh. Kal Kodesh, the Misifta de Frisch. So we're in the post-game show part of Tvila. You know what I'm saying? Once Shmoneh Esrei is over, it's the post-game show. And that's, I think, one of the most dangerous parts of Tfilah. There has to be a certain amount of limit of time in post-game show. Because basically, you're done. You start dragging out the post. You're dragging out Birchas Kriya Shema, Memela. You're preparing to meet God. But what are we dragging out Asher Yevolot Zion, you know? It's the post-game show. So we're doing Asher, we're doing Lanatzea, we're doing Yevolot Zion. All of a sudden, Baruch Hu, they all start singing. Eloikeinu. Wow, Ashrenu, what a beautiful thing. I don't know if the kids are thinking that. The kids are just like, the post-game show is long. I don't know, you know, right? I don't know what they're thinking. But to express it. What is the essence of, what's the takeaway of the Miraglim? Love Eretz Yisrael. Shkoyach. Shkoyach. We're starting a thing for next year, the Rosh Yeshiva of all the yeshivas. We're going to have a rotation doing a 2-3 minute Dvar Torah about Eretz Yisrael. We're going to send it to all the high schools in the world and all the elementary schools and, you know, etc. If you should see something about Eretz Yisrael, nice. So one of the Rosh Yeshivas says, it's not going to be about Eretz Yisrael every week, is it? Because it'll just be, you know. So I didn't say anything because I can't say anything, right? One of the people says, you must have something original and meaningful to say about Eretz Yisrael, don't you? Inside, I'm like, the point of Pasha Shlach isn't just love Eretz Yisrael or we hate you because you're a Turi Karta. I mean, did we graduate kindergarten yet? To try and understand what happened. Where does Tisha B'Av come from? The Jews didn't love Eretz Yisrael, they get punished forever. Great. Kindergartens need messages too. That's the video for the kindergarten. Be a Tzion. And if Moshe Rabbeinu explains it to us, maybe we should pay attention to what he says. It being Moshe Rabbeinu, Jewish guy. It's a pella. Aleph at the end. That the Jews could have doubts. B'sinas Hashem otam. And you know what? When you think about it for yourself a little bit, it's not so shocking anymore because we all know what that sinner feels like. We all know what attributing that feels like. We all know how we get to judge other people and why they're doing it and how they relate to us and they think this and I think this and he think this. That part of being a girl we don't need. I feel, look around, the group of guys, Baruch Hashem, here this year. Your greatness is not just that you beat last year, Shana Bet, and the number of guys coming back, so you can, you know, bragging rights, Eitan Arya and all his bums, and you know, just like, even the parents are gedolim in your year. I sat with the grapes. They said, why would anyone go back post Pesach? I'm like, oh. Oh. So I'm not going to be chaylik on you. He said, we heard you're against. I said, there's very little I'm against. Satan, post Pesach. He's like, wait, post Pesach, Satan. I'm going to put things in order. Hey, so did he pay to stay post Pesach?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's get all the testimonials from the guys who went back. You know, Shkatzim Veramasim. You're a great group of guys. You are a great group of guys. A great group of individuals with a lot of potential. A great group when you come together and you transcend all your, you know, womanish tendencies, other kind. I gave Shevach, so we can also, etc. And in Mitzvah Hashem, in Mitzvah you, you'll do great things together in Mitzvah Hashem next year. But it depends on how you crystallize now. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Kobe's excited. It takes a lot to get Kobe excited. Especially Kayetz. To see how bad it can get with the Maradon, that's the point. It's shocking how fucking and how dangerous the damage can be. Bechia shel chinam. Bechia shel chinam. I don't know how many people read the article I sent out Matzah Shabbos. I was running to the airport. I sent out that article, a picture with the Bekosharim. It can be Bechia or Shira. A person can either be a kvetcher or a singer. Better to be a singer. Speaking of singing, I recommend singing after the kumzitz. It's just so nice. Those who are going to learn, chas v'sholom, I don't want to, you know, ruin the shtarkers. Those not going to sing a little bit. To sing a little bit. You can either be a person whose life is about the crying of negativity, or you can be a person whose life is about the singing of joy, praise, and appreciation. Appreciate each other. Each person should figure out what they appreciate in every other person. Even that person. Everyone has that person. Everyone has that person. What I appreciate and what I gained. What I hope to gain in the future. Because the more people you can relate to better, the more people you'll be able to benefit from in your life, and the healthier you are in here. Because when you're healthy in here, you know how beautiful that feels. When you're not healthy in here, you know how sick you feel. I brought you should only have healthy days, not sick days. But that isn't determined by a virus, or the food at Rabbi Mazur's house, or something else. That is determined by, that is brought by his neighbors. That's determined by this, determined by this. It's determined by the Leiv Tov, the Leiv Tov, right? To be able to put that in a bottle, that good feelingness. Take it with you. It makes you a role model for other people. It makes a person people want to be around. You have that sickness to yourself. Nobody wants to know you, and it doesn't matter how many dapim you learned. You're sick. Don't be near sick people. How do you come back and talk that way? What's your problem, man? Zuama. The zuama of trying to change into God instead of man, reflected in the opposite, losing faith in man, and in the combination where, because of your lack of faith in yourself, you lack faith in Him for you. It's a filth. It's a filth that brings to gullus. It's a filth that keeps us from building as a people. It's a filth that generates the sin as chinam of others and the sin of yourself. And there's no greater filth you need to purify yourself from. No greater filth. I'm not Rav Horn. I don't say perhaps. There's perhaps no greater filth. What does that mean, perhaps? It could be yes, could be no, might be not. Might be. There is no greater filth than what starts inside yourself. There's a lot of other kinds of filth, but there's not. And when you go back a week or two or three, you're not going to be able to work on it then because you're going to be surrounded by it. You've got to come back with a big leiv tov. And you need each other. You need your crew. People in my office, they were running some shasas. They were looking at the year. I think it was a front year. What a crew. You got to look at yourselves as a crew. Because if you have no crew, you can't sail the ship. And this is the crew, Rabbi Say. It's a good crew. It's a talented, capable crew. We just have to, you know, do some soul cleansing. People come in with their stuff from before. People have the issues. Look at the mirrors. Break the mirrors. Do what you got to do. Because if you don't heal the heart, it infects everything else. Tov l'hodot l'Abba v'Hashem Oy. Tov l'hodot l'Hashem Abba v'Hashem Hu l'zamer, hu l'zamer Shimcha tune you guys know. There's a few tunes. Let's sing whichever one we know. This is one people know. It's a different one.
Vagashala, Virat Vayu.
Chafetz Chavayim Abav Ohel Yamin Ayek Yamin Le'ayistai Mi'iyya Le'ayetz Chafetz Chavayim One more song, which Mr. Shem David will send out afterwards. Adarabba. If Skidelsky doesn't do it first. I said the word Adarabba because the eye is on. Let's see. You sent that last night. No, okay, you send that again. People don't know, it's written by Rav Melech Mezhinsk, and there's a couple of sections. One of the section right before talks about saving us from the jealousy people have of each other. People are naturally jealous of each other because they're insecure with themselves. First thing is we ask Hashem to save us from the jealousy of each other. Not the jealousy that pushes us to try and emulate and do what other people are doing, but the jealousy that causes us to need to bring other people down. Adarabba. Tain b'libeinu shenira kol echad ma'alas chaverinu b'lo chesrona. Ba'al yedaber shum echad b'chaveru. No one should speak about each other. Chlal! T'chazik et kashru teinu eilacho and strengthen our kesher with you. Because the only way you can have a kesher with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is if you relate properly to his beings. Dveikus appears in the Torah so many times by Hashem at the first place is v'davak b'ishto, because you can't find a way to stick to God if you don't know how to stick to human beings you can see, touch, and feel. And I sing this just about every day. Most of the time when I'm humming a tune, I'm humming Adarabba. And people don't realize, what are you singing? That's what I'm singing. Anytime I see something that causes me to slip, or I see people slipping. And when we can do that, we heal ourselves through it. Such an important song. Everyone should sing it every day. At some point during the day. Sing it every day. Adarabba tein b'libeinu shenireh kol echad ma'alat chavereinu oh adarabba tein b'libeinu shenireh kol echad ma'alat chavereinu v'lo v'lo chesro adarabba tein b'libeinu shenireh kol echad ma'alat chavereinu Oya nirabba tein v'nibayinu Shinira kol echad malach malach chavireinu V'loi v'loi chesro yinomu V'shenida haber kol echad es chavireinu Yeah. Shabbos, and it should be the beginning of a wonderful week together, where we all connect to each other by returning to our true selves and appreciating each other because we appreciate ourselves. Shabbat Shalom.